we shouldn't be deceived. They're planting as many Trojan horses in our countries as they possibly can.
Tensions grow between the United States and China. It's Wednesday, October 14th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, President Trump's Supreme Court nominee answers questions. Voting early. Business in Asia. Ancient Australia threatened. Robot dogs helping workers. It's all on today's VOA Asia. China's economic rise and its greater assertiveness in the Indo-Pacific is setting off alarms in Washington. Already rattled by the devastating consequences from COVID-19, the virus that came from Wuhan. As the two countries navigate their evolving and tense relationship, some analysts are looking back at how American policy toward China failed and what it means for the future. VOA's Jayla DeFranceschi speaks with two influential American military strategists for what they expect next. Mary Alice Salinas narrates.
China's economic might has given it greater geopolitical clout, and under leader Xi Jinping, Beijing clearly aims to replace America's might and global influence and redefine the world order. Three decades ago, the United States helped China join the World Trade Organization with the expectation that increasing China's trade could lead to its democratization.
We thought that as China got more into trade and economics, that the incompatibility of a communist regime with free trade, or relatively free trade, would essentially cause a change in their behavior.
That expectation not only proved futile, but caused an undesirable ripple effect, according to retired General James Jones. He says China's ascent was achieved by stealth, stealing, and by undermining American and Western security.
We know what they're doing in cyberspace in terms of stealing intellectual properties wherever they can. So China presents a soft, and all their words are very, very gentle and well-meaning. But we shouldn't be deceived. They're planting as many Trojan horses in our countries as they possibly can.
China's goal is to undermine American long-term security alliances as well, says former NATO Supreme Commander General Wesley Clark. Right now, China and its president, Xi Jinping, are focused on their own neighborhood, the Pacific, and first of all, on Taiwan.
The issue today in the Pacific that people I hear talking about most is Taiwan, because we had an agreement when the United States gave up its recognition of Taiwan. We had a pledge that there'd be no forceful solution to Taiwan. But Mr. Xi has not agreed to that pledge.
In the South China Sea, you may see an accidental engagement. It is something that China is obviously serious about, and we are obviously serious about keeping the frame of navigation and international law at the top of the list.
China insists the U.S. is the aggressor in the South China Sea and that its relations with Taiwan are an internal issue that Washington should play no role in. But with tensions between Washington and China increasing and Taiwan increasingly seen as a flashpoint, Clark says the situation remains unpredictable, just as it was during the Cold War era.
The Soviet Union knew that if they crossed the inter-German border, there would be a battle and NATO would defend. But we never exactly said when we would escalate to nuclear weapons. Today, you're talking about air, land, sea, space, and cyber. This is very dangerous.
For Jayla DeFranceschi, Mary Alice Salinas, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Malaysia opposition leader tells King he has parliamentary support for prime minister bid. Anti-India clashes erupt after troops kill two rebels in Kashmir. Pakistan-India cooperation prevented massive locust scourge, according to the United Nations. women concerned over underrepresentation in Afghan talks. After 7-month wait, Japanese tourist visits Machu Picchu. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories, and there's so much more, when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and our voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. U.S. Senate Republicans kicked off a sprint Monday to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court. Just 3 weeks before Election Day, Senate Judiciary Committee hearings began amid continuing concerns about the impact coronavirus infections will have on Barrett's final nomination vote. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson tells us more.
Arriving on Capitol Hill, which has been shut down for the past week in an effort to contain the spread of the coronavirus, Barrett took her first moment before the full Senate Judiciary Committee to explain her judicial philosophy.
Courts are not designed to solve every problem or right every wrong in our public life. The policy decisions and value judgments of government must be made by the political branches, elected by and accountable to the people. The public should not expect courts to do so, and courts should not try.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has a narrow margin of error to fill the vacancy left by the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg last month and confirm President Donald Trump's nominee before Election Day on November 3rd. The Democratic vice presidential candidate, who also is a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said the process rejects the will of American voters.
A clear majority of Americans want whomever wins this election to fill the seat.
But even with some Republican members of the committee testing positive for COVID-19 10 days ago, the Senate is moving forward.
There's nothing unconstitutional about this process. This is a vacancy that's occurred through a tragic loss of a great woman, and we're going to fill that vacancy with another great woman.
Democrats say Trump is rushing to seat Barrett for two reasons coming up in just the next month.
President Trump has made it clear he wants another of his appointees on the Supreme Court before the election, because he anticipates court challenges over the vote, especially over mail-in balloting, which he has repeatedly attacked without any substance. President Trump has indicated he'd be perfectly happy to have a close election decided by a 6-3 conservative majority Supreme Court rather than by the votes of the American people.
And just a week after Election Day, the Supreme Court will hear a key case on the Affordable Care Act, the Obama administration's health care law.
The Trump administration is arguing that the act is unconstitutional and in effect to take away the Affordable Care Act and the health insurance it provides to millions of Americans as a means of unconstitutionality. So Justice Barrett will be one of the deciding factors in this major issue.
Democrats plan to focus on Barrett's possible deciding vote on health care.
Health care coverage for millions of Americans is at stake with this nomination.
But they have already faced Republican warnings not to make the faith of the devout Catholic mom of seven an issue.
We've read stories about your Catholic lifestyle, stories about how you raise your children, stories about how you adopted your children, stories about your Catholic doctrinal beliefs, over and over and over questioning whether you have, I guess, the independence to be a judge, a justice on the United States Supreme Court.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, who also is Catholic, said Barrett should not face questions about her religion.
No, her faith should not be considered.
The Senate Judiciary Committee is on track to approve the Barrett nomination by October 22nd, setting up the possibility of a full Senate floor vote as early as the week of October 26th, a week before Election Day. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, severe flooding has killed at least 11 people in Cambodia and 28 people in Vietnam as Tropical Storm Nanka approached the coast. Heavy rains since early October have caused deadly floods and landslides in central Vietnam and displaced thousands of people in western Cambodia. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you with us today on VOA Asia. As the November 3rd elections are approaching here in the United States, many voters in states that allow it are already taking advantage of casting their ballots early, either in person or by mail. In the state of Virginia, residents got a chance to begin voting early about a month ago, and turnout is beating records. Lacia Bacalets has the story narrated by Anna Rice.
A polling station in Northern Virginia, outside Washington, D.C. People start arriving early in the morning, even though the elections are more than a month away. The line only gets longer as the day progresses. Everybody is wearing masks and practicing social distancing. The average wait time is about 45 minutes.
It seems to be at least an hour, more than an hour perhaps.
And you are ready to stay?
Of course. American democracy is on the line.
I didn't expect it, but it's been moving much faster than I thought it would. Yeah, I have to work today, but this is more important right now, so I'm going to do it.
The turnout so far for the November 3rd elections is at a record high. Fairfax County election head Gary Scott says he hasn't seen lines this long in his 24-year career.
The comparison is we had a grand total of 137,000 absentee voters in person and by mail. And this year we've already sent out more absentee ballots than that. As I said, we've sent 170,000 out. So we're looking that probably two-thirds of our voters will have either cast or received a ballot prior to Election Day.
Experts say, on average, about half of U.S. voters will cast their ballots early.
I'm projecting about 150 million people will vote, and about half of those people will vote prior to the Election Day. So we're looking at about 75 million people that could vote before Election Day.
While there is intense interest in the presidential race, the main reason for this wave of early voting, experts say, is the coronavirus pandemic. People are simply afraid of crowds during Election Day.
I'm just kind of worried about what might happen and making sure that, you know, my normal voting place is going to be open and available. And as I said, I'm very passionate about making some change this year, and been very frustrating, obviously, in 2020.
Because of the pandemic, many states have simplified the procedure of early voting and mail-in ballots. This year, anyone can vote by mail.
Well, when I first started, it was very difficult to vote absentee. The number of reasons you could use as an excuse was very restricted. Well, you were a student, you were in the military, you were traveling.
There is no way to change your decision once you have voted, even if you cast the ballot weeks before the election day. But that has not deterred thousands of people.
We're living in highly polarized times in the United States, and many people have already made up their mind. I dare say that some people could have cast their vote a year ago for Donald Trump, and they would not be regret that vote today if they had cast it a year ago. So people have made up their minds a long time ago.
There are, of course, plenty of Americans who will make their decision on November 3rd, and they will be the main target audience for projections of results in the presidential race. Yet, neither party will know the results of early voting until Election Day.
Early voting results are not tabulated. No one, even the election officials, will know before Election Day how many of those early votes were cast for Democrats or Republicans. The vote is, you might say, in the machine, but they haven't hit the button that says count these votes yet.
Every state has the right to decide when to start early voting. Most states will open the polls about a week before Election Day, and it is expected that local election officials will still be counting mail-in ballots days after the November 3rd vote. Олеся Бакалец in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello anytime you're online or on your smartphone. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime.
This news from VOA Asia. Residents in Dhaka came out in support of a decision by Bangladesh's cabinet to implement the death penalty for rapists in the wake of a series of gang rapes and sexual assaults following a surge in sex crimes in recent years. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia.
Welcome to five-star quarantine in Thailand, where tourists can enjoy a private infinity pool and gourmet meals while obeying some of the world's strictest anti-coronavirus measures. The 300 tourists must complete 14 days of compulsory quarantine and take two coronavirus tests, which is administered by the war room of doctors and security guards. Tan Chinook Pramkul is the assistant director of sales at the Senses Resort.
For Phuket Provincial, we have the stronger policy that the kids have to stay in the room for 24/7 and until they complete the quarantine program.
With all the luxury amenities the resort provides for their customers, this also causes the resorts not to earn as much profit. Hotel speaker Supachok Langpad says, "We had to find other sources of income to support our staff and the local economy. Guests can expect to pay upwards of $5,300 or $18,700 for a family of four.
We choose it to be the quarantine hotel because we want to support and help the local people who are suffering badly from COVID-19 and also for the unemployed staff."
For the most part, guests believe it is worth following the sternest COVID restrictions for the luxury services during the pandemic. A growing local trend in Singapore has sparked John Yee to open a very unique store, Just Ants. The shop sells ant farms and specialist equipment. Items include mini handheld vacuums for catching the insects, tiny feeding dishes, and mealworms used as feed. The 41-year-old quit his job in electronics distribution to open the store after receiving some ants as a gift from his brother-in-law.
I feel that in Singapore, there's a really small community, and I wish to have actually a place where people can gather and share insights and, you know, share their ant-keeping journey and, of course, grow this community.
The shop was forced to close for a period due to a coronavirus lockdown earlier in the year, but has reopened since restrictions were eased and business is picking up. Michelle Sirio is a visitor to the shop.
I think the next time I look at ants, I say, hey, not everybody wants to kill them, you know? And I think I would definitely have a second thought, but it still doesn't mean I would love to keep ants.
Just Ants has 30 to 40 species in stock at the store. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
There is no current evidence that dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit www.who.int or www.cdc.gov.
Now on VOA Asia, Aboriginal groups have spoken of their grief at an Australian parliamentary inquiry into the destruction by a mining company of sacred sites dating back 46,000 years. In May, Rio Tinto, the world's biggest iron ore miner, destroyed two ancient rock shelters at the Juukan Gorge in Western Australia's Pilbara region as part of a new development despite fierce opposition from indigenous groups. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Indigenous groups say they're in mourning at the desecration of our sacred site at the Juukan Gorge. It was blown up by Rio Tinto in pursuit of high-grade iron ore, despite protests by community leaders. Aboriginal witnesses have told a parliamentary committee that Aboriginal culture is undervalued in Australia. The ancient rock shelters destroyed in May were considered some of the country's most significant archaeological research areas. Greg McIntyre is a land rights expert and says tougher laws are needed.
Governments at both state and federal level need to be actively engaged in this and to take a different view about the juxtaposition between economic benefit and Australia's heritage. Heritage has been a very poor second cousin for decades now.
Aboriginal Australians consider the land to be the mother of creation, connecting them to their past, present and future. An Indigenous elder said his people felt immense grief and guilt at their failure to protect such a sanctified site at the Juukan Gorge that dated back tens of thousands of years. Rio Tinto has apologised and is scheduled to give evidence to the inquiry later this week. Three senior Rio executives were forced to quit last month after the scandal. New heritage laws are being drafted in the state of Western Australia to give Indigenous groups a greater say in the protection of their land under the proposals. In the past, some have agreed to sacrifice sacred sites to help their impoverished communities receive a share in mining revenue. The parliamentary inquiry is due to hand down its report in early December. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Workers at Ford Motor Company may have noticed a couple of dogs roaming the factory floor recently. The automaker has enlisted the help of some four-legged robots to map the factory floor. Able to climb stairs, open doors, and get into tight spots, these robo-dogs are ultimately saving their human colleagues time and money. Tina Trin reports.
It's the robotic version of man's best friend. The four-legged robot from Boston Dynamics is being put to work at Ford Motor Company in Michigan.
We were looking at a way to get into tight spots within our facilities, and Spot, who we nicknamed Fluffy, came up as a brainstorming idea. We could mount a 360 high-resolution camera onto it, as well as a laser scanner.
Fluffy works with an autonomous robot named Scatter to help create a 3D map of the factory floor.
They autonomously go through the plant and then stop, scan, move, stop, scan to waypoints like a GPS.
Fluffy goes where Scatter can't, helping create a more complete map of the space, which in turn helps engineers as they retool floor plans for production of new car models.
In some of our final assembly areas, the facility's changing monthly.
The robotic dog can be customized with a variety of sensors for different jobs.
Chemical manufacturing, you want a gas sensor to see if there's a leakage in the environment so that you can fix the leak faster. Other customers need a thermal camera so that they can look at the performance of some of their industrial equipment and say, oh, that is overheating and that could potentially cause a problem.
Ensuring worker safety in dangerous environments is one of the main benefits of using this robot. So is collecting more kinds of data.
We're creating all of these systems to interpret and collect and analyze big data. The problem is that we can only get a very narrow set of data into those systems.
Unlike a fixed sensor, this robot can collect data wherever it's programmed to go. Boston Dynamics is currently leasing the technology so companies can find ways to use it. For some, this robot dog could turn out to be a very good boy indeed. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
That's all the time we have for our program today. We thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. You can find more by following us online at Facebook at VOA Asia, Twitter at VOA Asia, Instagram, and YouTube. We also like to thank those that help bring this program to you, our managing editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a super day ahead. Be safe, be well.